Let me start this by asking if you remember a film called Passengers from 4 years ago. It was a science fiction romance, and that's what it was billed as anyway, in which Chris Pratt wakes up from deep space hibernation 90 years before his ship arrives at his destination.
I remember it very well.
Yeah, right. And so what does he do? He wakes up Jennifer Lawrence so that he can have someone to spend time with. A completely psychopathic thing to do. And yet the film seemed completely unaware of this. It was sold as a sweet intergalactic romance. And I found myself, when I was watching, I was, you know, far from the only person to do this. When you're watching it, there's this kind of Velcro-like tearing in your brain where the film wants to pull you one way and say, look, isn't it lovely how they're getting on? And, you know, this kind of, oh, a little hiccup at the start of the relationship, all will be fine. Like, no, this man is a complete lunatic. He's effectively condemned this woman to a lifetime with him and then death. And the film has no idea what it actually is, okay?
You know, in fact, they tried to distract you with robot Michael Sheen.
Yes, that's right, that's right. Of course, he was pretty much the only other character in it. So these, I mean, it's a rare phenomenon, but when a film just has no idea what it is actually doing, it believes itself to be telling one kind of story and is actually obliviously telling something completely different. This is what Love, Sarah is, okay? So this is debut feature from a director called Eliza Schroeder and a debut screenplay from a writer called Jake Brunger, about three women who come together to open a bakery / coffee shop in London's Notting Hill. And they are Mimi, played by Celia Imrie, Isabella, played by Shelley Conn, and Clarissa, also known as Larry, played by Shannon Tarbett. Now, all three of them are from different generations, and they have one thing in common, which is Sarah. She was Mimi's estranged daughter, Isabella's best friend and business partner, and Clarissa's mother. And it was Sarah's dream to open this bakery herself, but as these things sometimes happen in films like this, she is tragically lost in a cycling accident during the opening credits. So these three women decide to put their differences aside in order to fulfill Sarah's dream of making a success of this bakery, with the help of Rupert Penry-Jones, who's playing Matthew, an expert chef, and one of Sarah's old flames. And here is a clip of him discussing how they're going to do it.
Bake with me. You're right, I'm not Sarah. Your passion for this project, that's what we need. Put that in the kitchen.
Except I'm not a baker.
Yes, you are. We trained together.
Yeah, years ago.
So?
So, I'm not as good as her. All right, I never was.
Rubbish. You were her best friend. You're practically sisters. If anyone can put her spirit into this, it's you.
Sarah was special, okay? She was talented. She was the baker. I just run things.
You can do it. I need to pee.
Okay, so far, so cozy. And I think even the fact that the film is set in Notting Hill, it's provoking that Richard Curtis-style Pavlovian response. You know, we're going to get a certain kind of storytelling here. Here comes the Velcro tearing moment, okay? The initial business plan for this bakery is to create these incredible sort of haute patisserie masterpieces and sell them for large amounts of money using Rupert Penry-Jones' two Michelin star expertise in order to create these things. And of course they don't sell because they're too elevated, they're too much. So the brainwave that they have is that they're going to, because London is, this is what Celia Imrie's character actually says. She says, London is the most multicultural city in the world, but nobody's actually from here, are they? So what they're going to do is go out and find ethnic communities around them and ask them what they liked to eat when they were back home. And they're going to make those recipes at the bakery and sell them back to the people that they stole them from. And you're kind of thinking, this is not a story of, you know, three women finding purpose, you know, and putting their differences aside and fulfilling the dream of a fourth. It's a story of three complete chancers going out and nicking expertise. And there's this montage sequence where they're basically pestering people for recipes. One, seemingly an ultrasound scan. You know, now you're at someone at a clinic, they bring these people in unpaid, presumably, to impart their wisdom. And then they whip up these, they learn how to make them immediately. And then sell them back to these people at Notting Hill rates. What the film is effectively, what they've done, I mean, this was by no means the intention, but they have, by mistake, made the Brexit version of Get Out, where you have you know, people in this, I mean, there's not kind of overt, like, literal body snatching happening in this. But it is appropriation of the most naked and shameless type. And you have, you know, so say a non-white customer will walk into the bakery and one of them will shout at them, "Where are you from?" "No, where are you actually from?" "Oh, Tokyo." "Oh, right, okay, well, what do you like to eat in Tokyo?" "Okay, well, we'll learn to make this incredibly complex, you know, matcha mila crepe cake overnight. And then we'll sell it back to you. It'll be as good as anything you've eaten in Tokyo. Is that okay?" "Yeah, that's okay. Oh, delicious. Yum, yum, yum." Now, as someone who's lived in London for 17 years, I think now, and is sort of evangelical about the place, the thing about London is not that nobody's from here. It's that everybody's from here. And if I want to eat an Australian lamington or a Japanese matcha mila crepe cake, do you know what I'll do? Go to the Australian bakery in Balham, or go to, you know, the Japanese bakery in Soho. These dishes exist. There is no way that you're going to meet a Latvian bicycle courier, as Celia Emery does in this film. Where can you get a good Kringle in London? Oh, I don't think there are any. That guy would have a top five that he would be able to reel off to you immediately. The film just has no idea about the city in which it's set, and it has no idea about this completely skin-itchingly uncomfortable dynamic at the heart of it. And there are not bad things about it, but it is all drowned out by the awfulness of the premise. And it's just, it's that kind of, like I say, the Velcro tearing moment where the film is going one way and you just cannot follow.